Hello, my name's Owen Blakewell. Welcome to the first Eyes for Investigate podcast. Who are we, you may ask? Well, as our website explains, we're a team of paranormal experts, researchers, and investigative journalists who, in conjunction with law enforcement agencies, look into cases which are considered unusual due to details which are out of the ordinary. When the various policing forces run up against a brick wall and mark a case as dead, that's usually the beginning for us. We work with special government agencies, and each of our employees undergo rigorous training on a regular basis. Cases which were once deemed sensitive are being declassified by various governments. People have come forward with amazing stories of paranormal experiences in the wake of BBC podcasts and series which deal with otherworldly themes. The US government discusses UAPs, or UFOs if you prefer, and admits sightings by aircraft pilots of unexplainable objects. The stigma which used to be attached to coming forward with true life stories of odd experience is lessening rapidly. That's why the Eyes for Investigate team has decided that the environment's right for presenting our work to the public. Religious beliefs are also shifting. According to the 2021 census, paganism is the second most popular religion in the southwest of England. Over 74,500 people identify as pagan in England and Wales, and the highest concentration of witches is in Croydon. We're not actors, so please don't expect the perfection of practiced rehearsals. The recordings we make when on site for an investigation will only be edited where necessary. I have to admit that we can't promise full resolution to all cases, but it should also be noted that we're happy to go back to an old investigation when new evidence becomes available. What I will promise you are some dramatic tales and an insight into cases which were previously withheld from the public. Due to the nature of our investigations, we'll be ahead of you throughout each case. After all, there are some things we don't want to broadcast until after the fact, so that our activities aren't being monitored by the very people we're investigating. We hope to include some bonus content, which is in the moment, but they'll be self-produced items, in other words, personally uploaded, from myself and other investigators. These will include side issues arising from our investigations and interesting historical information. These, along with any images we share, will only be found on our website. So, once again, welcome. We're calling this story The Shambler from the Stars. It all started with a phone call I received around 11:30 on the night of 4th June. Hello?
You still haven't learned that you should keep your phone on your bedside table. Do you know how long I had to let it ring?
Henry, you old dog, how are you? I hope you weren't calling just to see how long it'd take me to find my phone.
Now, would I do something like that?
Yes.
Okay, so I've got a bit of an imp in me. I've also got a hot tip for you. Burning, literally. I'm on the site of a fire at Philip Trulove's home.
The author? Is he okay?
No, he's dead, unfortunately.
Oh, damn.
Oh, you knew him?
Not personally, but I'd intended to... Oh, forget it. What's the situation?
Oh, I just thought you might like to know the truth before you read all the vanilla newspaper write-ups tomorrow. Sadly, including my own. This whole thing isn't as straightforward as it should have been, so we've been, given a story to print. Well, more like a fairy tale than a story.
Hey, listen, Henry. I'm recording all my messages now. Is that okay with you? I'll likely want to play this for the team tomorrow.
Yeah, go ahead. You can put it on your podcast if you like. Show the people a real example of suppression of the press. Ooh, that reminds me. Have you told Jennifer about me yet?
Oh, God, no. I keep forgetting.
Yeah, I expect as much. Bloody typical. You always forget to say things that you find awkward. Back to the job, anyway. I had a conversation with an old contact of mine, one of the firemen. You remember Bernie?
How can you forget a fireman named Bernie?
Okay, well, first I should mention that the fire wasn't too bad. They got in pretty quick, so they were able to get it under control, so only the first floor was gutted. Bernie goes first, as usual. He finds the body upstairs. He says it looks absolutely revolting. He called down to tell his colleagues to stay downstairs because the roof looked like it could fall in. That's the crew manager to come up since he'd found a body. Upshot is, True Love wasn't killed by the fire. Bernie said his body was shrunken, dried up, smelled horrible, and was covered in, well, goo's the word he used. He noticed some odd damage in the room. There was a broken window frame, pieces on the floor, glass under the windows, as if something had broken in from outside. Fresh break, too. Bernie said it didn't have anything to do with the fire or True Love's death. It was just, quote, a puzzling fact, quotes. I think we know otherwise.
Yeah. And you know, I love a puzzle. Hey, listen, my brain just kicked into gear. If we put this conversation into our podcast, I'll be dumping Bernie in the stew.
That just shows you don't know enough about Bernie, mate. Don't worry, he's like Teflon, nothing sticks. He's got more connections than, the human brain.
Then he must know beings on other planets, because there aren't that many people on Earth, Henry.
Yeah, what do you expect? I'm a reporter. Oh, one more thing, I've had a premonition. The Department for Parascientific Research will contact you tomorrow.
Well, it's been a whole 3 weeks since I last spoke to James. I didn't think it could last for a full month.
Practice acting surprised for when he calls.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. Henry was right, of course. It was nearly 11 o'clock when I took the call. James Gilman, my old section head at the Department of Parascientific Research, asked me if I could join him for lunch in his private briefing room. He said he'd have something nice brought in for us. It's unusual for me to turn down a free meal, so I said yes. He suggested I take the 11:32 train, arriving in Chelmsford at 12:54, and said he'd have someone at the station to pick me up. I'd already uploaded the call from Henry on our server and shared the link with the team so available members would know that they needed to be ready for a new case. It took about 4 minutes to get from the station to Radar House, an anonymous three-story office block built in the 70s and which had served as the home of the DPSR for the past 30 years. James was waiting for me, but in case you feel tempted to think that his private briefing room sounds grand, I have to disillusion you. It was a typical large office space with a strip of windows down one side, a whiteboard on an A-frame easel, and a few dog-eared health and safety notices by the door. However, it did have a sizable desk at one end, and this was where we were now finishing lunch.
What did you think of the salmon?
It was very good. A shame the wine wasn't sharper. It would have been a better complement for the flavours. But it was good to have new potatoes and fresh broccoli.
Unfortunately, they didn't have the wine I requested. Now, down to business. I assume you've heard the news about the death of the author, Philip Truelove.
Yes. Not much of a story. Such a brief write-up for someone of his talents. Have you read any of his books?
No, I rarely bother with fiction. I have more important things to do. And so do you. His death was far from natural.
And that's why you called me.
Indeed. It's an interesting case. Back and neck broken, all the blood drained, and a dozen or so marks like suction cups with needle points in the center. The torso was covered in a viscous substance that the lab is studying. Not a pretty sight, especially when you add in the effects of a fire set by some damned fool who decided the house should be burnt down.
At least that didn't work as well as our firebug planned.
I don't think he planned much at all. Or he wouldn't have been caught on the cameras. We obtained CCTV footage from True Love's house. A man left through the front door a few minutes before the fire department was contacted.
Well, well. If the police pulled him in?
The police don't know about it. He's more important to us as a witness than he is to them as a potential arsonist. Thanks to the city council and their 113 fixed cameras to keep us safe, we were able to track him to the railway station. There were two members of staff who remembered him well due to his actions. They said that one moment he was laughing hysterically and clinging to a station sign, and the next he was calm as a priest and at the station window buying a ticket for Ipswich. He caught the 11:05 train, arriving at 11:46.
You've mobilised your staff well. It's barely been 14 hours since the fire was reported.
You, of all people, should know how efficient we are. I expect the identity of the arsonist to be determined quite soon. I have Charles looking into the CCTV footage in Ipswich right now. But I'm leaving it to you to go and talk to this man once he's located. You're good at talking to people who are mentally unbalanced. They seem comfortable with you.
I take that as a compliment.
It was meant as one. It's a skill. But it's your other skills that I hope will come into play in this matter. Is there any chance that you've had a vision recently which might link to this case?
Yes. I had an unusually intense experience nearly 2 weeks ago now. I did a tape of it as soon as I was able. I was listening to it again this morning, trying to see how much of it fits in with what's happening now. I'll put that on the server in your private folder, the one with all the other vision records.
You have access to my private folder?
Oh, well, it's all because you don't like to change passwords, and you told it to me back when you were in hospital and I was working...
Good God, man, why didn't you tell me?
It's not as if I'd ever looked at your files. Anyway, if I didn't know the password, I'm sure that Ben could easily...
Yes, yes. We're all safe, aren't we? Passwords and surveillance cameras. Oh. Well, keep me updated. I've already sent you the address for True Love's neighbour, Frank Armitage. I've also added contact information for a fire investigator, Sean Murphy. He's expecting a call from one of your staff to set a time for an inspection tomorrow. I've arranged it so your team will be left alone to investigate the house without supervision.
I bet that took a bit of work.
Yes, so professionalism is of the utmost importance. I know your staff, and I'm counting on them to uphold DPSR standards.
They'll do better than that. They'll uphold my standards.
Yes. Our pathology team is working in room 3A. I've put Arthur Green in charge. I'm sure you remember him from that nasty case where he identified that putrid lump found on the sidewalk outside the Upton house. Would you like to go and see the body now?
No, I think I'll wait for the movie.
Oh, how I've missed your sense of humour. Arthur knows this case is top priority. A number of photos are already available for you on the server, as are his initial observations. I'll have him ping you as soon as he uploads his preliminary report.
I haven't been pinged in a long time.
Then you do have your computer set up for pings?
Yes. You had the technician do that for me when you gave me my new laptop. All the bells and whistles sorted.
Yes. Could you take better care of this one? They don't grow on trees, or so I've been informed.
It was the only thing I had to prevent that goon from hitting me on the head with a cricket bat. How was I to know that the late train would be full of drunk, lunatic sport fanatics?
Yes, most unfortunate. And of course I know you're more valuable to us than the laptop, but try to tell the IT department that when you've taken them a plastic bag full of £2,000 worth of bits.
You know I don't go out looking for trouble. I prefer my eyes to be blue, not black.
Of course. Is there anything else you need from us? I note that Anton is soon due for another training session.
Yes, he mentioned that to me a few days ago. I think he's arranging it online.
And you? You've been... well? There's nothing else you need from us at this time?
I've been okay, thanks for asking. There's nothing I can think of that I need, unless you happen to have more salmon that needs to be eaten sometime.
I'll keep that in mind.
On the train ride home, I uploaded the file of my talk with James and links to the autopsy photos and initial observations report. I also sent RSVP messages inviting the other members of the team to a meeting at 5 o'clock, asking that they check out the uploads beforehand. Hi, Jennifer. You're first to arrive. Ben won't be joining us, but he said he'd try to pop in briefly if he has a chance. If not, he can get caught up to the recording of this later.
Okay, well, I'm here early because I wanted to talk to you before anyone else arrived. Henry Carlson? You know him? He's connected to IIFI. Is that why he kept suggesting that I apply for a job here? Why didn't you tell me?
I just kept forgetting to mention it to you and then... hold on. Hi, Sylvia, Tony, and Tristan. Great, we're all here. Have you all had a chance to listen to my interview with James and look at the photos of the body and read the initial observations?
Yeah.
Ben sends his apologies. He's still busy wrapping up the Webster case files. He's got his hands full scanning the newly found papers. Sylvia, he'll be needing your help to get those items categorized and filed correctly on the server.
I can't wait to get my paws on the Angel papers. What I've read so far is amazing. The idea of groups of people having the same dream is fascinating. It could be happening somewhere now and we wouldn't even know it.
Yeah, what a find. I've looked at some of the pages that Ben uploaded, and the information there confirms some of the things I've found on the dark web regarding the Cthulhu cult.
The papers certainly lend credence to some of the myths. But, Sylvia, I need you for something else right now. Could you see if you can find any instances of deaths that match up with True Love's injuries? That or just any cases that were considered mysterious, unsolved, cult-related, whatever? I keep having brief visions of newspapers and stars, as in the famous cult, perhaps. I'm sure you'll know if anything you find is worthwhile.
Not a problem. I think I'll start by digging through the DPSR files since they're more on topic for us, and then move to the online archives. I'll let James know that I'll be on site tomorrow.
Do you want me to check online archives, Owen?
No, just keep doing what you do. The articles aren't vital. It just scratches an itch in my brain.
Oh, I wanted to let you know that I have a couple of new real-world contacts. And don't worry, they made it through all the DPSR checks. I think they could be a big help.
Okay, but as far as I'm concerned, your dark web research is invaluable. All these real-world contacts are, well, something I consider too dangerous. I'd never ask that of you. Please, be careful.
Okay, Dad.
It comforts me to know that my team respects me. Don't spend more than a couple of days on the archives, Sylvia. After that, you can move on to working with Ben, organising the Angel files.
Okay.
Tony and Jennifer, I'd like you to work together tomorrow. Jennifer, could you contact Mr. Frank Armitage and see if he's willing to be interviewed?
Fine with me. I'll charm him into agreeing.
I hope that won't be necessary. As soon as you know what's happening with Mr. Armitage, call Fire Officer Murphy and arrange to have him give True Love's house the once-over for safety issues. You'll be getting the keys from him so you and Tony can search thoroughly without prying eyes.
How do you arrange that, then?
I didn't. James did. But I've managed to make an arrangement by which we can borrow what we want from the site. They owed me one or two.
I didn't realise you were such an influential person. Say, could you handle a parking ticket for me? They put the ticket on my car before the meter ran out.
Were you in town centre? They've done that to me too.
Yeah, I'm tempted to fight it. I walked back to my car planning to top up the meter, grab something to eat, and then check out some more of the small shops. But then I saw the ticket and checked the meter, and that confirmed I still had 5 minutes to go. I was so miffed that I got in my car and drove to a mall. If that's how they're going to treat us, then I'll have to stop patronising the local merchants.
Can we please remember that this is a work meeting, children? Thank you. And Jennifer, I'll explain the situation and ask James to take care of your parking ticket. I wanted to mention that I did a recording of a vision I had about 12 days ago. I'm sure it relates to what's happening, but I'm still digging it apart. I've put it on our server and uploaded it to the website as well. I'm going to ask Ben if we can maybe use it as a prologue to the podcast.
Oh, really?
That's brave.
Hey, my decision. Okay, I think... Ooh, I've just been pinged. Okay, folks, the pathologist has posted his preliminary findings. Enjoy. All the information you need is in the True Love folder. Are there any questions?
No.
No.
No?
Oh, sorry, gotta run. There's someone at the door.
Bye, Jennifer. By the way, folks, my nan, Kate, is coming to stay with me for a week or so. She'll be arriving tomorrow around 10:30, so I'll be busy getting things sorted for her and seeing that she's got everything she needs.
Hey, Owen, could you have her contact me when she has some time? I need help with a new sneak spell. My old one's starting to become susceptible to counterspells. I had someone following me yesterday when I met one of my contacts. I managed to lose him, but it shouldn't have been that difficult.
Okay, Tristan, I'll have her put you top of the list. The rest of you, we'll get together at my place after the True Love House has been searched. Let's say tomorrow at 3. Tony, I'm assuming you and Jennifer will be done by that time. I'll be at home if you need me. Nan and I will sort out some food for a buffet, so don't have too much for lunch. Feel free to text me with any requests. Oh, and Tony, could you let Jennifer know about that, please?
Sure.
So, anyway, see you tomorrow. And Tristan, we'll be doing an audio recording of that and putting it up on the server along with any photos and raw audio files from the day, okay?
On the morning of June 6, I picked up Jennifer at her apartment and we drove to the residence of Frank Armitage. She had contacted him the previous day and he'd agreed to speak with us about the night of the fire, so she arranged a meeting time of 10:30.
Are you sure the recorder's on?
That's what a little red light means.
Yeah, but Owen was having trouble with his recorder. The light came on, but it didn't record our last meeting.
Come on. Owen has trouble using a cappuccino machine.
Well, that's not fair. It had a fault. It had to be returned.
Hello.
Mr. Armitage, we're from IS4 Investigate. Here's my ID. We spoke yesterday. My name is Jennifer Morgan, and this is Tony Sorensen.
Oh, yeah. I can't see the picture very well without my glasses on. But that's okay. Come in, come in. I was expecting you. Don't mind the mess. The cats get everywhere.
Oh, I love cats. How many do you have?
There's 3 roaming round somewhere. Come into the kitchen, we can sit down.
Frank led us into a large, bright kitchen. He invited us to be seated at a round table with a small vase of flowers in the centre. From the picture stuck to his fridge with magnets, I could see that he was a widower and had 2 children, not to mention grandchildren, going by the crayon drawings proudly displayed. He stood waiting for us to get comfortable.
I find talking always makes my throat dry. Can I get you a cuppa? I've got tea, coffee, lemonade.
I wouldn't mind some lemonade. It's rather warm today.
Thanks, I will pass.
You said you had some questions for me. It's more than police did. All they wanted me to do last night was confirm I was one who called Fire Brigade. They asked me if I had anything to add. At that point, I just wanted to go back to bed. I didn't know then about Phil. So sad.
Yes, a great loss to the community. By the way, our recorder is on. Can you just confirm that you're okay with that?
Oh yeah, that's fine. I'll be able to listen to it on the radio, I guess.
Oh, actually, it's a podcast, so it's on the internet.
Oh, I'll have to get my son to help me with that.
I'll see that you receive the link so your son can find the show when it airs.
Thank you. There you go.
Thanks.
Mr. Armitage, did you know Mr. True Love well?
Call me Frank. And yeah, we were friends. You'd have to understand, he weren't the most social person. Pleasant and polite with people, but kept himself to himself. I mean, he'd go off on holiday. I took care of his garden and saw that things were picked as soon as they got ripe. I'd put them in a basket and keep them for him until he got back. He never went away for more than 2 or 3 days. He was always good about sharing the things he'd grown. He had these lovely fruit and vegetable. Well, you can see the corner of his garden from my window. I don't think I've gone a single day in past year and a half when I didn't have one or another of his rare oriental vegetables in one of my meals. I couldn't pronounce their names, but I'll tell you there's nothing like them in the stores.
Really? Oh, I'll have to take a look at his garden. Can I ask you, though, what drew your attention to the fire on Sunday night?
I could smell smoke.
When we spoke, you mentioned that you heard an odd noise?
Oh, that. I was trying to sleep and there was this noise outside, like thunder mixed with laughter. Sinister laughter, I guess you'd say. Sounded like one of those creatures in his stories come alive. Awful disturbing. I got up and looked out, wondering if kids were playing around in the backyard. We've had trouble with them now and then. I happened to look over towards Phil's house, and I saw a weird red thing, like a thick cloud, like, well, something in the sky near one of his upstairs windows. The angle's odd, so I couldn't see anything, clearly. I wondered if it was fire at first, and I kept looking at it and trying to focus, but it just seemed to rise up in the sky rather quickly and disappear. I was just looking out into the yard for a few minutes, wondering if the noise was going to repeat or if I'd see anything else by the window. But it was nothing, so I went back to bed. A little while later, I could smell the smoke, and by that time, I could see the fire. I was on the phone straight away, Fire Brigade, and it was ironic. That red cloud made me think of fire, and then there was a real fire. You don't think they're connected, do you?
Well, that's hard to say. We'd have to understand the nature of the cloud.
No, silly question. I can't even say for certain it were real. I didn't have my glasses on. May I ask you, American? You've got a lovely accent.
Canada, actually, but thank you.
I was going to say Canada. Should always go with my first instinct on these things.
Did you ever find out what made the noise?
No, I remember mentioning it to Mrs. Chibby. She lives on the other side of Phil. And she said she'd heard something too. She'd had Mr. Chibby go out and check around, but he didn't see anything. He didn't hear out, because he didn't have his hearing aid in. Didn't smell of smoke, because the breeze was blowing east. So, good thing he was awake, I suppose.
Was Mr. True Love his usual self recently? Was anything bothering him? Did he seem well to you?
He was a bit on edge, out of sorts last couple of days, but I don't see how that's connected to the fire, if you don't mind me saying.
It's been suggested that he may have had a heart attack, and that's how a candle was knocked over on his desk without him reacting.
Oh, yeah, that was in paper, weren't it? But, well, Phil was in good health, but, you know, he had something on his mind when he came over to see me on Saturday. He liked his candles. I used to get him scented ones every Christmas. Always nice to have a mate who's easy to buy for.
Do you have anything else you can tell us that you think might be helpful?
Nothing I can think of offhand.
Tell you what, I'll leave our card with you so you can contact us if you think of anything else.
That's lovely. I'll pop it on the fridge.
Thanks for talking to us. We appreciate your help.
It was my pleasure.
Oh, and thank you for the lemonade. It was lovely.
You're welcome, love. Come on, I'll show you out.
Bidding goodbye to Mr. Armitage, we headed over to the True Love House. We could see the car of the fire officer parked on the opposite side of the road. Looking towards the house, you wouldn't have known that a fire had occurred since it started where the author had been sitting in his upstairs den at the back of the house. It was fortunate that the fire engines only had a mile or so to travel, and the back of the house was so easily accessed from a parallel road which contained a store parking lot. Fortunate for the house, that is, but of no importance to the lone occupant. They've left the door open.
Yeah, but I think we should stay back a polite distance and wait for them to come out.
Hey, I agree. Anyway, it's a lovely day to be outside. Hey, look over there, Tony. Can you see the CCTV camera by that big tree branch? It's hard to spot unless you're looking for it. A nice bit of concealment work.
Certainly is. Look alive, here they come. Mr. Murphy, I'm Anton Sorensen, and I'm...
I can see your ID tag, and your manager sent me photos of you anyway. He's a bit OCD, isn't he?
Huh?
It's completely safe for you to go in and look around downstairs. Here are the keys. When you go upstairs, stay in the hallway to look into the burnt-out rooms. Under no circumstances should you enter them. The rooms to the front are safe, but the den and spare bedroom both sustain structural damage and should be avoided. Don't assume that since the ceiling downstairs seems undamaged, the upstairs floor is safe. You will follow my instructions. If you see something that you want, just take a photo and let someone know when you return the key. We'll send someone with safety equipment to grab it for you. Make sure you lock up. I was told we should trust you to behave as advised, but this isn't our usual practice.
I assure you, we'll follow your guidelines. We have very strict rules as well.
Hey, are you recording this?
Yeah, sorry, is that okay?
Fine with me. It just proves that we warned you of the dangers. Let's go, Pete.
Come on, John. I hope you have your investigator eyes on.
I always have my investigator eyes on. We walked up the path and entered the house. Once through the door, my attention was immediately drawn by two neat stacks of posts beside a rotary phone. Ooh, what have we here? Letters and a rather interesting postcard.
Pop it in.
Odd language. I've never seen anything like it.
For the record, we're in an entry hall with two doors opening off it. One on our right, which I can see is the living room, and one ahead and to the left, which leads to the kitchen. Directly in front of us is a hall table. Further down the hall, past the kitchen door, there's a shoe rack and a coat rack, and steps up to the bottom landing of the stairs. Have you found anything else of interest, Jen?
A few bills and... He has more mail here than I see in a month. Ah, correspondence. Let's see. Need to have it by the end of August. Barlow. That's his publisher. Here's another one. Okay. A fellow author. Thank you for your kind words in regards my latest... Let's see. Amazing good luck. If you're willing to translate...
Just pop it in the bag.
Okay. I hope he got paid well for translating. People earn a lot from that, you know.
I'll keep that in mind if I need the extra money.
There are a few more items here that he hadn't opened. I think they're bills. Oh, yeah, and some junk mail.
Apparently I need to bring larger bags in the future. I'll leave this one here and we can pick it up on the way out. I have another one if we find any other papers we want to take with us. Let's check the living room next.
Wow. You can certainly tell he was an author of strange fiction.
Would you like to provide a description for the record?
Okay, so in front of us as we enter, there's an antique sofa and table. The table has a scrying glass, very ornate, and two lovely goblets on it. Above the sofa is a painting of a cephalopod, and to the left of that is a plaque of some sort. Okay, to the left of the sofa, there's a storage unit with shelves and cupboards. There are more shelves attached to the wall to the left of the unit, and there's a set of Egyptian-style drawers beneath the shelves. On the opposite wall, there's a fireplace with an armchair on either side, a large screen TV, and another large painting. This one is a female demon. Interesting.
It's a good selection of old books on these shelves. But I expect the main collection will be upstairs.
I guess he didn't consult the What's Trending list when he bought these. And some of these are falling apart.
They seem to be mostly books about myths and legends. Perhaps use these for research.
Same on the storage unit, but also a few collected works of authors like Edgar Allan Poe and Bram Stoker. But what are these things? This looks like an empty egg, and that one resembles one of those, you know, the cut-in-half polished rocks you see in tourist shops.
I'm, not sure. Don't touch them.
Do you see idiot written on me somewhere? I remember my training, the whole 5 weeks of it. Don't touch it if you don't know what it is. I'll get some photos of it in situ.
You might as well get everything now. I'll open the curtains so you have better lighting. So tell me, Jen, are you enjoying your new job, or do you wish you'd stayed at the newspaper?
Well, I'm still here. After all the tests and training I went through, I'd better be happy. The head of the training department had a bad attitude towards me. He kept telling me it would be understandable if I wanted to drop out. I don't think he realized he was just making me more determined to succeed.
You're coming to this job with much more experience than I did 5 years ago, and the training has improved a lot as well. Mine only lasted 2 weeks. But Owen has taught me a lot. You're going to be fine.
Thanks, Tony. I guess I should relax.
Relax? Don't you remember?
Relaxing is for home. When on the job, remain alert and ready for anything.
Thank you, DPSR poster boy.
I just remember that I haven't booked my course update sessions yet.
Oh, you'd better get that sorted or they'll take away your decoder pin.
Not my decoder pin.
Hey, are we going to open this cupboard now?
I'll do the honors if you don't mind. That strange design on the door is bothering me. Almost glows. Okay, so that's odd. This door doesn't have a lock, but it won't open. Let's make that neither of the doors will open.
Oh, dear. So what now? Do we ask the fire officer and Murphy? See if he can get it open for us?
Nah, just get clear photos of the door. Owen might have experience of this sort of thing. If not, I'm sure he'll know who to contact.
Let's see if we have better luck with the drawers over there.
Et voila!
Stationery! How exciting!
4 sizes of envelopes, headed paper. That's it. Maps. Lots of city center maps for all over the country. Some of them have sticky notes attached. There were places he went for book signings, it seems, and readings. Interesting for his biographer, maybe, but...
But not for us.
Old calendars. Receipts, instruction manuals. Yeah, I'd say these are useless as well.
You never know. Maybe he didn't have enough money in his account for his Fangoria subscription and things turned nasty.
Yeah, it would be nice if it was that easy, right? Hold on. There's a box on top of these shelves. I'll get it down. It's heavier than I expected. Here we go.
Oh, and inside the box is another box.
With no obvious way to open it. Let's take it with us. I'll put it on the hall table and then we can do a quick check of the kitchen before we go upstairs, yeah?
Hello. Sorry to intrude. I noticed that someone was here and I wondered if...
Your name, sir?
I'm Mr. Chibby from next door. It's just that I loaned a few items to Mr. Truelove. Well, now that he's gone, I was wondering if I could just pop in quick and get them back. They should be in his living room.
I see. I won't stop you if you come in.
What?
I said I won't stop you. If you can come in, you can get your items.
It's okay, Mr.
Jennifer, do not speak to him, please.
Okay.
You think you're so clever? Well, you'll regret this. By the way, it's so kind of you to wear ID, Anton. I is for investigate. Sounds like a kid's show.
Did I just enter an episode of The Twilight Zone?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, Jen, but I could tell that he was not Mr. Chibi. You almost completed the invitation, and that's all he needed to get past the ward which Truelove said to protect the house.
How do you know that?
Oh, something Owen taught me back when I first joined him. How to spot a doppelganger. It would seem that Mr. Truelove had some interesting friends.
Well, wait a minute. If there's a ward stopping people from coming in, why didn't it affect us? Or the fire inspector and his buddy? Or the firefighters on the night of the fire?
Well, you see, wards are very intricate. The house is imbued with natural resonances. The ward is acting as a gatekeeper and registering the presence of the impure of heart, barring their entrance.
Wait, you said he could come in if invited.
Invitations are usually put in as an override. There are times when we do need to invite the devil inside.
If you say so. I'd like to know what our Mr. Chibi was looking for.
Hard to say, but yeah, I wish we knew. I'd best lock this door now. Ward or not, we need to be careful. We're responsible for the house, you know.
True. Hey, I just thought of a place in the living room that I forgot to search.
Oh, where's that?
Down the back of the couch. A notorious place for losing things. Aha! Oh, 50p. Let's see. Wait, there's something over here. Ooh, what's this?
A very interesting amulet. Slip it in your pocket. We'll take it with us.
Okay. So, are we off to the kitchen now?
First, I think we should make a plan for a safe departure.
Oh, God, you're right. The evil Mr. Chibi isn't going to just go home. He's going to be waiting to see if we have the items he wants.
Do you have a personal protection spell?
Oh, the DPSR didn't provide anything like that. They taught us a prayer to the elements and then they...
Oh, my. Things like that are useless in our line of work. Even a protection spell or an amulet aren't perfect, but they can mitigate some dangers. Owen really needs to take you aside and give you the training and spells you need. The DPSR does practical training, but Owen does the rest. Well, him or his grandma.
Okay, his grandma. So this is a family business, is it?
She helps out with spells, charms, advice, things like that. She's a witch, you know. Very powerful.
Of course, she's a witch. Yeah, my family seems so boring all of a sudden.
Yeah, I bet your family is wonderful. Just give me a minute. I'll go to call Owen.
Hello?
Hi there, it's Tony. Why did you send Jennifer out into the field without a red string bracelet?
Red string bracelet? Red string bracelets are useless, you know that.
Yeah, but so is having nothing. Nada.
Oh, damn. I haven't had time to... Is there a problem?
Yep, we had a doppelganger come to the door trying to gain entrance. Not a full spell doppelganger, mind you. Just someone using an amulet. He wasn't very happy that I could see through his trick. I'm concerned he may be waiting for us outside, though. And he might not be alone.
Okay, this calls for Operation Distract 'em and Nab 'em. I'll contact our security team and have them come over here. Then, when they arrive, I'll get a taxi to True Love's house so they can tag me and pick up the scoundrels. Assuming they're still lurking. Sound good?
Perfect. Thanks, Owen. See you soon.
Okay. Oh, while I got you on the line, Sylvia's just uploaded a 1920s newspaper story she found with an amazing title. Are We Being Visited? The Shambler from the Stars. Wouldn't that make a great podcast title?
Yeah, it might have been in the 1920s. Had there been podcasts in 1920s, that is. Sounds too old-fashioned to me. By the way, we have some interesting finds as well. And we've only gone through the hall and the living room so far.
Ooh, this is as good as Christmas. I'll be with you as soon as I can.
This is John Holmes, and you have been listening to episode 1 of The Shambler from the Stars, written by Michelle Perry Brooker, with additional material by Neil Brooker. Your cast includes Matt Blissett as Frank Armitage, Neil Brooker as Ian Blakewell, John Bucket as Tristan Elliott, Benedict Daniels as Henry Carlson, James Leatherbarrow as James Gilman, Benny Lindberg as Mr. Sheeby, Ryan Moore as Fire Officer Murphy, Tobias Nielsen as Anton Sorensen, Michelle Perry Brooker as Jennifer Morgan, and Samantha Underhill as Sylvia Grant, with music, sound design, and audio editing by Neil Brooker. This has been a Destination Yesterday production.